Welcome to the Live Free Podcast. I'm your host, Michaela Quinn, and I am a mom on a mission to help you launch, grow, and scale a profitable freelance business from home. Join me each week for tangible business advice along with inspiring interviews, all designed to help you mom strong, work smart, and live free. If you are loving this podcast, finding yourself motivated or inspired, learning something new, or just a fan of the show, do me a favor and help me spread the message. Screenshot the episode, add it to your Insta stories, and tag me at Michaela.Quinn. Every share helps me reach more and more moms, and I may just share your share and feature you in my Insta stories too, because together we can take over the world. All right, mama, it's time. Grab your coffee, water, or wine because we are starting. Becca, welcome to the podcast. Actually, welcome back to the podcast.
So nice to see you again, Michaela.
So nice to see you. And I am super pumped for kind of like a catch-up episode, kind of where have you been? What happened in your business in the last year and a half? Because the last time we spoke, it was like the end of 2021. And then your episode went live in, you were the first episode of 2022.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So welcome back. If you want to kind of start, give us a quick intro into, you know, who you are, what you do, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. First and foremost, I am a mom of four under seven. I have been through the fourth trimester twice in the span of my business. And business-wise, I am a content strategist and manager, and I work primarily with coaches and service providers. I have worked in a lot of capacities from virtual assistant all the way to director of marketing. And now I have niched in on content management.
That's awesome. I can't wait to kind of dive into the progression and how you've gone around and like picked and narrowed and choosed and what all of that looked like for you. Because there's a lot of people that are listening that are probably established. Maybe they're virtual assistants and they're kind of in that, ooh, like, what's next for me? What else could I do? And I think it's so interesting and so helpful to hear other people's stories and how they pivoted, what changes they made in their business and where they're at now. So before we get to all of that, can you give us the kind of quick and dirty version of how you got started, why you got started, and what the initial start to your business looked like for everyone who wants that full story, like the beginning of Becca's journey from like nitty gritty details? Jump to episode 193. We'll link to it in the episode show notes and description. But for those that maybe haven't, just give us some context before we dive into the where are you now portion.
Yeah. Been a while. So looking back, I wanted to go into the medical field. I wanted to be a medical assistant. And so I went to school, got certified, had my first, finished my internship when she was like a few months old. And I was like, I'm going to stay home. And so I did for about a year. And I was like, I want to do something besides motherhood. So I was like, maybe I can sell and make bread. Maybe I can do this. I became really obsessed with like little things, trying to come up with business ideas, kind of like you with your story. And then I eventually found freelancing. I was like, this sounds too good to be true. It sounds kind of spammy. And then I found your course, OTO. And I was like, this might be a cool thing to look into. So I came across it and I came back a few months later. And then I invested in it. I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to put in the work. I'm going to have a baby in 3 or 4 months. I'm going to get this established before then. And so I jumped in. Landed my first client actually right before OTO and my next right after having the baby. And I started off as a virtual assistant. I was a VA for about 6 months. And then I really like strategy and like taking someone's vision to the next level and actually making it come true. So I became a director of marketing. And from there, I niched down into content marketing because I like the connection there with people instead of hardcore like paid marketing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. And so when we ended in like January 2022, kind of that time frame, that was when you were director of marketing, right?
Correct.
Okay. Can you explain what a director of marketing is?
Yeah. So a director of marketing is the person who oversees companies' marketing as a whole. Mm-hmm. You do their content, you do their ads, or you outsource it to people. You manage it all. mm-hmm. As well as the overarching strategy that's on you. And it looks widely different from business to business.
Mm-hmm.
But you're pretty much the marketing go-to for these bigger companies.
Kind of like for these, all of these small businesses who don't have a full-on marketing department, or maybe like a marketing exec, kind of a CMO, you're that role, but for small businesses in a track position, you oversee the whole strategy and then oversee kind of the implementation of it, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
So how did you go from director of marketing to content strategist and manager? What was that kind of transition, and walk us through like why and kind of how you got there?
So I feel like a lot of people that go the DOM route, they come from corporate or they've been in that business space a lot. So there's a lot of lingo and just the way a director of marketing is presented. It seems very high level. And at the time I was like, I'm not this high level. And so initially that's why I went and switched. But I think the underlying reason was that a lot of my clients that I was working with, I mainly did content. And so that's what I was good at. And I like the copywriting aspect, the connecting, the building the like, no trust with the audiences, instead of being kind of behind the doors, telling everyone else what to do. Like I was in it, in the weeds kind of with the content.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Yeah. So what did that transition look like when you're kind of a director of marketing? Did you have some director of marketing clients where you were doing it all for?
Yeah, I mean, I still do have one of them, but we are much more focused on content.
Yeah.
There's barely anything else. I mean, she has my eye on launch campaigns and stuff. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of launch strategy and launch content with clients, but that's, I don't title myself any different. I'm just still a content strategist, and we just work on launch or.
Yeah. And who's like your kind of ideal client or the main type of client you work with?
Right now, it is a high level coach, like a six figure. Coach is just looking to get their evergreen or open cart, close cart offer out there, who just needs to free up their capacity. And pretty soon I'll be starting to work with a few lower level clients in consulting roles.
Yeah. I mean, those types of clients, they're all online, all virtual.
Mm-hmm.
Content is, I don't know the exact percentage, but I'd say like 75 to 90% of their job.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a lot.
It is, especially if you want to grow, because you need to have a lot of content out there because it is so saturated. And so it becomes very overwhelming and tedious, I would say.
Yeah. So for a lot of your clients, when you do content strategy, are you covering all platforms or do you specialize just on the one, like Instagram?
I do all platforms, but a majority of my clients are on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, LinkedIn, and then like email and blog.
Mm-hmm. So then do you cover all of that content? Mm-hmm. Your content strategy is all encompassing for all the different like platforms they're on?
Yes.
So what do you do? Like what's a day-to-day week and like month look like for your clients? So maybe let's start with the month.
Okay.
If you're comfortable, and then go to like week and then like daily.
Yeah. So let's take my biggest client as an example. Mm-hmm. She is a freelance and copywriting coach.
Mm-hmm.
She has two Facebook groups, one for freelancing, one for copywriting, and she has an Instagram account and an email, blog, and YouTube. But so on a month-to-month basis, we meet and we strategize what we want to sell that month, because all the content, all the nurturing is going to come from that vein.
Mm-hmm.
And then I jump in, we use ClickUp, and I outline all of her content for everything. Right now in the groups, she's on almost daily, and Instagram is 5 days a week. And the cool thing with her is that we do a lot of content repurposing. Mm-hmm. So about 80% of the content that goes out is repurposed from the last few years. It's just tweaked and it's live again and it's relevant, and it's a lot less work than creating something fresh for four times every day of the month.
Yeah.
And then after that, I go out and schedule everything on a week, or I like to do it on a month basis. But right now with the baby, I usually get it done the week prior. And that includes reels, statics, just text for the Facebook groups. And then on a day-to-day basis, I guess if I haven't got things scheduled, I'll schedule them the day of, if it's like a trending reel. Although you can schedule now in app, which is so nice for Instagram.
Is that work? Instagram's, I feel like, so glitchy. They've just been messing up a ton of my reels lately when I publish them live, even. Hey there, real quick interruption from me, Michaela Quinn. Anyways, I wanted to make sure that you knew that we just added a 12-month payment plan to our program, the Live Free Academy. You can enroll and get started today for just $147. If you go to go.michaelaquinn.com or just head to the show notes on this episode, we've got it linked there as well. You can read all the details and click one of the buttons to go enroll. And on there, you'll see the 12-month payment plan option. When you choose the 12-month payment plan option, you get the entire course the second you enroll. We don't hold anything back because you're on a payment plan. You'll get access to the How to Build Your Business from Start to Finish course, skills training, the job leads board, the coaching calls, the student community Facebook group, and everything else that is a part of the Live Free Academy program so that you can get started freelancing and land your first client in 30 days, 60 days, however long it takes you to go through the course and then start implementing. Again, you can see all the details at go.michaelaquinn.com/academy or head to the show notes and click the link there. All right, back to the show.
Weird. No, I have had it happen where I go to schedule it and then it says schedule and you click schedule and it posts it live right there. Right then, I've had that happen before, but I haven't had it lately. Yeah. Sometimes it says post and I go back and I like rework the scheduling settings and then it says schedule again. But yeah, it is kind of glitchy right now, isn't it?
It is. I don't know. Not ever since. It always is. But I'll have like different texts like timing and pop up and I'll post it and then it's all gone. And it's like, this doesn't make sense now.
Weird.
So then I have to like delete it, fix it. It's ridiculous sometimes. So just know if you guys are working on Instagram or content and things happen, it's not you. It literally happens all the time. And it's
frustrating.
It's frustrating, but you're not alone. So there's that.
Yeah. You're not alone.
Okay, cool. So how did you learn content? How did you go from like medical assistant, freelance to now it's like you are a content expert?
So I went back to college before OTO and I got my bachelor's and I went through BYU Idaho and they have this really cool like certificate. You pick certificates and that makes up your bachelor's. And one of them was social media management. And so I learned a lot about social media then. But honestly, what I learned there, you could probably find on the internet super easily. I mean, it's pretty vanilla.
Yeah. I mean, because like anyone who's like big into social media and knows social media, they're not teaching at a university.
Exactly.
I feel like they're so behind current.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it changes every single day.
Yeah.
And so after that, I had like a basis and like as a user, you kind of know a lot. And then there were some modules in OTO that helped out. And then the director marketing with Lindsay, there was a lot there on email and some like more basic social media, like marketing, promotional marketing. And then from there, I work with a coach and I went through her program. Her name's Peggy James. And she has a lot about like organic content marketing and selling through content that I gleaned a lot from. Besides that, it's just continuing to learn through podcasts and just the continued learning and actually applying it instead of just soaking it in.
That's huge. The learning, like when you're offering really any sort of service, you have to be a constant learner.
You'll get left behind if you just like, this is what I do. I'm good.
Yeah. And so you have to be a constant learner, but you can't just learn. You have to be like, you learn from experiencing, from taking what you're learning and applying it to client accounts. That's the best way to learn.
It is. Yeah. I mean, if you read my Slack messages, there's a lot of like, I'd like to try this this month, or let's try this. Let's try this, seeing what works and what doesn't.
Yeah.
That's the only way you learn.
Yeah. So as a like content marketing and content strategist, are your offers purely retainer based? Do you do any one-off projects, VIP days? What does like the makeup of your offer suite look like?
Yeah. So at the top, I have monthly management. That's for those clients who want to either offhand everything or just work as like a partnership on their content every month. And then the tier down from that is something that's coming out probably by the time that this episode drops. It's called Connection to Conversion, and it's a 6-month consulting role where I help my clients nurture and convert their leads through their content. It'll include strategy, accountability, and action. And then the one below that is a content strategy roadmap. That's a one-off strategy session. for mainly newer people to the space, just getting them off and started on the right foot.
Yeah. So that is for the lowest tier that you just mentioned. That's for more of like freelance service providers that are wanting to market their business on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instagram. Oh, cool. Or any other
content
platform, email. It's pretty, I say it's basic for me, but it'll go over like their ideal clients, their pillars, where they need to show up, how to show up, and just the tips and tricks along the way that will make them successful. Because there's a lot of information out there.
Yeah.
If you have something custom for you, it's a lot easier to get started.
Yeah. So growing your business in the last year and a half, what challenges kind of have you faced?
A baby.
Ditto. So talk to us about that though, because that's a lot.
It is.
I mean, last time we talked, you had a 4-month-old.
Yes. And now I have a 2-month-old.
And a 2-year-old.
And a 2-year-old and a 4 and a 6. It's a circus. It's a circus.
How do you run things? Like get things done?
There was a lot of the naptime hustle before having this baby. And then once this baby was born, I was like, I need more time besides this because now I have kids that don't nap anymore. And I don't want to work in the early morning or evening all the time because I'm already exhausted from day-to-day life, you know?
Yeah.
And so most recently, I hired a teenager to come over this summer 2 times a week for 4-hour blocks just to manage the kids. And she's amazing. She stays off her phone, which is great. And she loves on them and she's so gentle. And I get work done. Mm-hmm. No people get work done. So that has been huge, outsourcing a little bit of childcare. Something else that's helped is hiring a coach, working with the coach, because they can really pinpoint and direct where you want to go instead of me fumbling around trying new things. It's like, hey, let's do this. This is the plan. And then getting action.
Yeah.
And results out of that. So
yeah.
Those two things.
How many hours do you work like a week?
Right now in this growth phase of business, more than I want to.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that we're
probably roughly 25 right now.
Okay.
Yeah, there's still a lot of late nights and stuff, but by Christmas, my goal is to make more and work less. So
yeah.
Working towards that.
25 hours a week, though, that's still not...
It's not full-time. Yeah.
Yeah. But are you able to make like a full-time income? I don't know if you're comfortable sharing any of...
Yes. Currently, right now, I am paying myself more than my husband makes on his full-time.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, that's awesome. There's so much in freelancing that... You can make a lot of money in freelancing if you invest the effort and time. And it's been amazing. I remember when I first started your program, I was like, it would be amazing to pay myself $1,000 this year. An extra $1,000 in our pocket for like Christmas or something. How awesome. And now it's like, oh, Becca, little did you know.
Little did you know.
Yeah.
You ever find it hard though? Like, because I mean, you're paying yourself more than your husband working 25 hours a week. Like, do you ever struggle with the temptation of like, ooh, if I worked more, I would make more? Like,
all the freaking time.
Yeah. So how do you talk yourself through that?
I normally, like last year around this time, I would just take on more clients and then feel burnt out, but just keep on going. And then my health and my family would suffer from that. But now it's like, if you want to work with a client, it has to be a relationship where it's beneficial for both of you and actually create a really good relationship and then paid what you want to be paid.
Yeah.
So that includes raising your rates often, not getting talked down on discovery calls, even if you really like the client and they're like, but this is my budget. And you're like, but here's what I charge for that. Not going down to that other level. There's a lot of holding yourself to those boundaries with the clients to get to the spot where you're making what you want to make, but you're not being burnt out.
Yeah.
And just keeping in mind that this is a season of life. Like in 4 years when they're all at school, 4 or 5 years, then I'll be able to invest more time into my business.
Yeah.
And maybe in a year or so I'll have more childcare. Who knows?
Yeah.
Staying in the now is really important. I'm a strategist. I'm a visionary. I love looking to the future, but sometimes I need to pull myself back down to like, this is where you are now.
Yeah.
And that is okay. That's okay.
Do you ever compare yourself to like other people, other freelancers that maybe started similar to like when you did? And maybe like, I don't know, I've caught myself doing this week, and someone posted about like their 7, almost 8-figure business. And we started at the same time. And I'm like, gosh, what am I doing wrong? And then I was like, wait a minute, maybe you're not doing anything necessarily wrong. You just haven't been in focused growth and scale. Like, you're kind of been in a maintain and have baby season for the last 8 years. And that's okay.
Yes, definitely. I mean, there are so many people, especially the ones you see like all the time on your feed that are like trending. It's like, these people are in their 20s. They don't have a job. I mean, this is their job. They don't have kids. This is their life. Like, this is their lifeblood right now. And that's how they're growing. But I know a lot of people you work with, they're moms.
Yeah.
And we don't have the same capacity, and that is okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
And especially when you have moms of young kids, like, and you're doing this because you want to, like, my motivation was very much part-time hours. I have a little bit more childcare help than you to have some more focused work, but I started with a college student for two 4-hour blocks. Maybe it was even 3-hour blocks with Thomas, like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and grew from there. But yeah. So I wanted to know if you could get into kind of walking us through some of, since you're an expert on this content marketing and you are working with a lot of freelancers and service providers on coming up with their marketing content. Could you kind of like walk us through, if we could go a little bit more into that? Like, I'm curious, when's the right time? Like, when are you ready to start marketing on Instagram and like starting with a content strategy? Are there any things that you need in place before you get there?
So like, if someone came to me who was a newer freelancer and they're like, I want to start marketing myself on Instagram, but I have no idea where to start. I would start with their offerings, what their product suite looks like. I mean, at that phase, it might not be that established or that put together. And so before I do strategies, I send out a questionnaire that has like so many questions about their business, general marketing, and then content marketing and branding. And that'll kind of help them think through these things, seeing where they need to really narrow in on to get their product suite and their message across. And then whenever I have these strategy calls, we talk a lot about the messaging too, because good messaging and good copywriting is a kindness to clients and potential clients, because confusion kills. If you confuse people through your marketing, they're going to be disinterested very quickly.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the main things I work with the newer people, is their messaging. And then we can actually dive into the content.
Yeah. Should they be somewhat established already? Maybe like having landed one or two clients prior to kind of starting to come and focus on Instagram or content marketing? Or can someone who's like, I've never worked with a client before, I'm just...
I think they could start if they know who they want to work with and they know what they have to offer. Those are the two main things that they need. So if they know those two things, they can jump in and create a content strategy that'll help them land those clients.
Yeah. I work with a lot of beginners who are, they don't come from the business background. And so they're like, this is also new. And so that's where I'm like, you just need to get started working with clients. Once you kind of have that clarity on what you want to do, that's when I typically tell people, now it's a good time to look at, okay, do you want to market on Instagram? Do you want to build a website and go from there? So if someone's like, okay, I want to start marketing on Instagram to land clients, grow my business, what do they need to kind of start doing? What's like a content strategy look like? Are we posting every day? What's working?
Yeah, all depends on what their goal is. So if this was like a quarterly content strategy, I'd say, okay, how many retainer clients do you want? How many other clients do you want? Like if you have other types of offers. And then we base everything off of that. So our pillars are on an offer to offer basis instead of general. I know a lot of times when people talk about pillars, it's like, I talk about work from home life. I talk about marketing. I talk about this thing and this thing. But what I suggest to clients is have like your offer, like say someone's a virtual assistant and they work with coaches and they talk about the social media aspect of virtual assisting. They talk about the admin aspect of virtual assisting for the specific client type. And when you break that down, break your pillars into an offer by offer basis, it makes marketing so much easier and more targeted even. And so I'd first have them do that and then optimize their bio and everything good there. And then we can dive into like, what's your content calendar going to look like? And especially for newer people, they don't have a team supporting them. So I do not suggest they post every single day because they will burn out and it won't be high quality content. So I'd rather have them create something that's super sustainable for where they're at in business. They can get to that spot one day, but when they start out, I'd suggest maybe a few posts a week, varying the content types and primarily focusing in on stories because that's how you connect on Instagram, showing your face.
So when you say connect on stories, do you mean telling stories or you mean like in stories, the stories?
In stories. Yeah.
Okay.
Especially on Instagram, I feel like that's one of the best features you can use to nurture and sell stories.
So what type of content are they creating?
Mm-hmm. On Instagram, I'd suggest to use everything that the platform has to offer. So that's maybe going live every once in a while, the stories, the reels, static posts, just putting everything through the lens of I'm trying to sell this one offer this month. And how do I prepare my potential clients to work with me and to not forget promoting yourself? I see that so often. It's like, I'm telling them what I do, but you're not really. I mean, the online space is so, so saturated right now. You can't open your phone for more than a minute without seeing an ad or something promotional. So let's say that you've created, say, 16 straight promotional posts a month that people probably saw an average of 7 times. And of those 7 times, they were distracted for 4 of them because the kids were screaming and they logged off. And you have to repeat yourself and you have to sell more. Mm-hmm. People aren't getting annoyed if you're trying to sell. That's something I see a lot, but I don't want to bug people. They don't see your stuff. It's organic content. The paid content is what gets pushed in front of you all the time, but organic, you need to work really hard at getting it in front of people's eyes, especially on Instagram.
Are reels still the best way to get in front of organic eyes, like new organic eyes?
I'd say, yeah.
Yeah.
You have the highest reach on them, even though reach is way down from where it was last year.
Why? What the heck is going on?
I have no idea. I just roll with it.
Jeez Louise. Like, so, but for like me and my account, I've always run ads, always been great. Mm-hmm. April, they shut my ad account down for like, said my identity wasn't confirmed. Mm-hmm. And I'm still trying to work through, but I took a break because I was like, I can't, I have PTSD from when they shut my account down in 2019, 2020. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I don't have a full-time job to talk to Meta right now. Mm-hmm. to try and argue and get my account back and then just be defeated every day. So I took a break, worked on organic. I had one reel that went viral. That was amazing. And then after that, it's been literal crickets. So I started a new ad account. Here's what frustrates me though. And I'm like, every Instagram coach is like, oh, if you're not getting reach or engagement, your content's bad. I take the same post that I made organic, put them behind paid content. I'm getting like 23 cent clicks, cost per click. Like that is really, really good. So I'm like, I don't think it's the content. I think
it's that, yeah, they're pushing out everything that's paid.
Yeah.
Which I mean,
but then I see some people's that are, how are these, some people getting these crazy reach like, organically? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I feel like Instagram, anything Meta right now, it changes every day.
Yeah.
And the algorithm, I feel like social media managers, they have a full-time job keeping up with the algorithm.
It's a hard
and learning about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah. I don't have an answer for you there.
Just, I know no one does. It's like,
it sucks.
No one does. Well, it's good to know that it's, I mean, not good to know, but somewhat comforting that it, I mean, it's, that's what I've heard from everyone. It's just down everywhere. What are your thoughts on threads?
I think that they're fun, but I don't know how long they'll last. Yes. It might be kind of what was that one platform?
Clubhouse.
Like 2 years ago. Yeah, Clubhouse. It might be a Clubhouse type of thing because, I mean, I see people already starting to fizzle out.
Yeah. It's kind of, I don't know.
I'm not a big fan of Twitter and I feel like it's pretty similar, like in my eyes. So I haven't really been on there like at all, but it was fun while it was hyped up there for a week or so.
Yeah. What I really thought was cool was your followers kind of.
They came over.
They came over. So that was fun. But
yeah. I feel like it's just another thing to get like shiny object syndrome with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although I have seen some people have success already, like meeting new clients and stuff there, which I mean, good for them. But I'd rather spend my energy where
it's already working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of diving into something new.
Yeah. So you said something for like going through and creating, getting started on Instagram, you got to know who you want to work with, what your offer suite is. Then from there, you get your pillars, right? And your pillar topics, and then optimize your bio. Where should people be sending service providers specifically? What should their link and bio be? Where should they be sending people?
To what they want to sell right then. If they have an open retainer spot, send them to the landing page if you have one. I guess it all depends on if you have a website, but send them to where they can connect with you, where they can learn more about that one offer. If you're promoting a freebie or an opt-in right now, send them to that instead of sending them to a link in bio or a link tree, because people want to be told what to do.
Exactly what to do.
Yeah. Tell them exactly what to do. Otherwise they'll just like get lost or disinterested. They won't be interested.
Yeah. Do you have that same philosophy with your clients for the link in bio? Like just into the one thing, don't do the link trees.
Yes, except for a few of my more high-level clients, they're offering a lot all the time. So we do have a link in the bio, like a really small link in the bio. But in all of our calls to action, it's like head to the link in bio. And there's like three options.
Gotcha. And then one thing you said that I wanted to go back to was promote yourself more, promote yourself more, promote yourself. Is there like, can every post have promotional content, or what's the rule around? Is there a hard and fast rule around like value versus promotional versus nurture?
I mean, everything that goes out should be in a roundabout way promoting yourself. I do see, especially with the newer freelancers, they focus a lot on the educational content. And a lot of the times that doesn't really speak to who you want to work with. It might feel like a type of safe content to create, but it's not speaking to your ideal clients. And to change that, you need to like put yourself in your ideal client's shoes and like, what is the transformation they want, and talk about that. It could be inspirational or relatable, entertaining, but I'd stay away from a lot of educational unless you talk to people who are at a lower level than you. But usually starting out, you're talking up, you're not talking down. And so a lot of that comes back to the messaging. So you can always have a call to action at the end. Like if this resonated with you and you want to learn more, follow along. And that is promotional in a way. It's not straight selling, but yeah, everything can be promoting yourself, especially in stories, not just showing text testimonials, but talking through stories of like, this is what me and my client are doing. This is what's working. Taking your audience through what you do on a day-to-day is also a way of promoting yourself. Having text slides that walk through your offer and your process, straight promo, like work with me on a static post. I mean, there's so many different ways to promote yourself, and it doesn't have to just be straight promo. There is soft promotional as well, which you can weave into everything.
What would that look like to weave it in?
That would look like, let me see, like a personal assistant making a fun trending reel. Like you can't tell initially that they're promoting something. They're just like, oh, that's relatable. And then at the bottom of the copy, the social caption, there's your call to action. This resonated with you. This is what I do. This is how I help clients. Book a call with me through the link in my bio. Kind of thing.
Gotcha. Awesome. Guys, if you're newer to Instagram, you can change that link in bio.
All the time.
All the time. All day, multiple times a day, every week, however often you need it. Yeah. Very cool. Well, Becca, I have two questions left for you. One, if someone's sitting there listening and like, I really want to start focusing on my Instagram, where can they go to kind of like learn from you, work with you, walk us through that?
Yeah. So the first place would be on Instagram to come find me at rebecca.hebden, I believe. And the second,
and you
would
spell Rebecca different. So guys, we'll link to it on the, on the description.
Yeah. And then the second is to maybe reach out to me about the content strategy roadmap, the one-off strategy session. That would be really helpful for those who don't really know where to start and they're kind of like lost when it comes to content. And I guess there is a third, when this drops, I'll have Connection to Conversion Out, which is that retainer, 6-month retainer, where I kind of walk alongside you as a strategic partner for your content for 6 months. Which includes a lot of accountability, and I check on your content, and we do quarterly strategies based on what you want to sell. that'd be the most high level way for most freelancers to work with me at this point to help with their content. And besides that, just come hang out on Instagram with my free stuff.
Yeah. And if you guys have a client who's like needing content strategy, needing that stuff too, Becca can be a resource as well for those.
Yeah, definitely.
Last question. What's next for your business? Like, what kind of milestones are you working for? We know you're adding on
the consulting
offer. Mm-hmm. What else do you have kind of up your sleeve for next phase of your business?
In the next 6 months, I want to roll all this out so that I can start working less. There's a lot of back end right now, getting everything up and running. Mm-hmm. But then I just want to work with a handful of retainer clients and then my consulting, and maybe have more childcare help so that I'm able to spend a lot more intentional time with the family, meet some money goals. Mm-hmm. And I am working right now we're trying to build a house and buy a house.
Yeah. So
build a house, but this market sucks. So it's a lot of money. And so that's one of my main drivers right now. So by this time next year, we're hoping to start build if I can maintain this income and hopefully grow it by next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I'm going.
That's incredible.
Thanks.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm so happy for you and so thankful that you came on and just kind of gave us an update. I think it's so cool. One thing people are always like, is this long-term? Is this lasting? Or is this just a fad? And so I'm excited to do more of these kind of check-in podcast interviews with people that already shared their kind of beginning stories, just to see the growth and kind of trajectory moving forward.
Yeah. Thank you. It's been nice to kind of walk through this again and to talk with you. It's so exciting to come back. It's like, this is where I started, and it's kind of bittersweet. It's like I graduated and then came back to say hi to like your homeroom teacher.
I love that. Well, it was so fun. I know it feels the same, like having you back, saying hi and catching up. So again, thank you so much, Becca.
Thank you.
Now, just because the episode is over doesn't mean the knowledge party has to stop. Come hang out with me and thousands of other mamas in my free Facebook group. Just search Facebook for the Live Free Podcast Mastermind with Michaela Quinn, or go to the show notes. We have it linked there. And make sure you answer the questions so our gatekeeper knows that you want in. And don't forget, sharing is caring. If you are loving this podcast, please take a moment to share it with your friends. But make sure you tag me at michaela.quinn on Instagram and at michaela quinn on Facebook. See you next week.